John McClain is on the show every Wednesday, and he dropped a very bold prediction on the show Wednesday about Tytus Howard.
People are going to go from, man, they got bamboozled by the Eagles trading for Andre Dillard, to now understand why they wanted Tytus Howard. I believe, and I've said this from the get-go, because I know how high they are on him, and not just because of his ability, but because of his personality. Mm-hmm. He's eager to learn. He's passed with flying colors so far. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he doesn't end up not just starting every game, but making an all-rookie team and solidifying that position for a long time.
Cecil, pretty strong words from John. Are you that optimistic? Because I'm a little bit skeptical.
I'm not that optimistic. I think down the road he can be good. I'm just not sure how fast he can be good right away. It's a big difference playing in the conference he played in and then coming to the NFL. And it's a transition for everybody coming from college to the NFL. But, you know, from what I hear, I've heard good things about his attitude, his work ethic, the whole nine. But it's still wait and see for me. You know what I mean? It's still wait and see. How can he handle certain calls, the line of scrimmage? How can he handle simply blocking J.J. Watt merciless in practice? You know what I mean? So I want to see that with pads on. And then, you know, we can go from there. But if he turns out to be an all-rookie and solidify that slot, like McClain said, that would be such a huge anchor on the offensive line.
Other than wins and losses, it's maybe the biggest thing that can happen for this team. If you found your left tackle of the future, the guy who is protecting Deshaun Watson, it is a gigantic, gigantic success.
Yeah.
Like, independent of what they do, making the playoffs, the division, if they find a guy, if they find the guy to protect Deshaun Watson's blind side for the next 10-plus years, that's a huge deal. When you talk about the adjustment, because you went through a big adjustment going from college to the NFL, what was it like for you when you started with Jacksonville going from Mount Union to playing in the NFL?
It was tough because I didn't know had to learn how to be a pro. And nobody in that receiver room really taught me how to be a pro, if that makes sense. So nobody kind of took me under their wing and taught me, okay, this is how you need to study or this is how you need to go about things. Plus, I came out the lockout year. So with that being
2011.
Said, 2011, there was no OTAs, there was no minicamp, there was no rookie minicamp, nothing like that.
You were thrown in.
It was just thrown in straight into training camp. And then you get this big old playbook and you got to learn what to do with that from there. So, and it's interesting because skilled players, I believe you can find anywhere, right? No matter what level.
Agreed.
Now, the difference is, especially from Division III to the pros or Division III to Division I, is the offense and defensive line. You might have a 6-foot, 250-pound left tackle at Division III, you know what I mean? Whereas then you got, you know, Jadeveon Clowney on one defensive end, or you got Joe Thomas at the left tackle. It's just a huge difference of what's going on. But this, for me, learning how to study, learning how to be a pro, learning how to take care of your body. And once I learned that, the transition was a lot easier.
The reason I ask is because, so Tytus Howard's going from the transition from Alabama State to playing for the Texans, playing in the NFL. Max Sharping on the other side is going to have the same thing, going from Northern Illinois to playing at the NFL level. If you're comparing, and you went through a similar thing in Jacksonville back, you're mentioning in 2011, did you feel like your transition was tougher or the same as the guys who came from the big schools who were picked by Jacksonville the same year?
I think for me it was tougher because I went against tougher competition when I got in the NFL, where if you went to a Division I school or a big-time school, you saw pretty much the toughest competition each and every week. Right, if that makes sense. So I went from going against guys that were scared to cover me, that were scared to check me, I can pretty much do whatever, to guys that, like, man, who the heck are you?
who are you?
Like, who are you? Why are you here? So I think that was the tough part. But the thing is, if I had to give any advice, it'd be find a routine to take care of your body and then really just put the work in, man. Like, if you are humble enough to put the work in, learn from your coaches and the veterans that are around you, and then let your talent just take away and truly believe in yourself. Because a lot of guys doubt themselves. And that will kill you. If you have any doubt, like, oh, I can't do this, okay, well, we'll find out real quickly when J.J. Watt drives you in the ground. But, you know what I mean? I think that's the biggest thing. Just learning a routine, take care of your body, and then just truly believing yourself and putting the work in.
We're talking about Tytus Howard and what his rookie season is going to look like on a Thursday morning, because John McClain thinks he can make the all-rookie team. I'm optimistic about Tytus Howard long term. Yes. The morning after the draft, I was sitting in this seat, Cecil, down in the dumps, because I had my heart set on Andre Dillard. I felt like it made all the sense in the world. He came from a school that pass protected a lot.
Yeah.
In Washington State.
He was right there.
Yeah, he was right there. He gave like one sack, you know, for 4 years, whatever the stat was. And I was like, this is perfect. It makes sense. It's an ideal spot. He falls down the board. They settle for Tyus Howard. But I've actually changed my mind on it for a couple of reasons. Number one, from all the reporting out there from the Albert Breers of the world, I think that Tyus Howard's the guy they wanted. I think they would have taken Tyus Howard over Andre Dillard. And I also think the Tyus Howard selection makes a lot of sense long term. You know, Michael Lombardi, who used to be a personnel man for the Raiders and the Browns and the Patriots, said Howard's a guy who a lot of NFL teams really liked, especially by the time the draft rolled around. So I don't think it's a big reach. I don't think it was a big reach at 23. Plus, it's freaking left tackle.
Yeah.
If I need to reach for left tackle, I'm good with that. That's a premium position. So I have been sold on Howard long term.
One thing about him that stood out watching film on him is how athletic he is. He can really move. And he can really, if you watch the Senior Bowl, he did a good job against, you know, the Georgias or the world or whatever the case may be. So he looked good. The talent is there, no doubt about it. Just a little bit raw with some technique things. But, man, I think if he can pan out to be the guy at left tackle, you have your guy for 10 to 12 years.
My one problem is this, and this is the hard thing for me to get past. Cecil, I don't know that I trust the coaching staff on this one, on the offensive line, because they haven't produced a good offensive line under Bill O'Brien. In fact, the offensive line has steadily gotten worse under Bill, with the exception of this past year. I think the 2018 offensive line, which allowed more sacks than anybody, was actually a little bit better than the 2017 offensive line, which I felt was actually even worse. I think they had like a slight dead cat bounce. But I'm talking like 2014 to now, it's been a steady decline. And I think that the coaching staff has been way too optimistic about their young players on the offensive line. I don't know if they fully know what they're doing on the offensive line. So I just don't trust the situation until and if I see Tyus Howard out there doing well and performing well for a rookie.
Do you think it's more of the coaches not developing the young guys? Because to be honest, they let a lot of guys go. They let Dwayne Brown go. Brandon Brooks. Yeah, Brandon Brooks go. Yeah. Ben Jones go. And they bring in these young guys. So do you think it's more of management letting the older guys, the veterans, go on to different places, and then and those guys trying to, you know, find their young guy? Or is it the coaches that's not developing the young players?
I think it's both, but I think the biggest problem is I don't know if they know what they're doing up front. And I know that sounds like a really harsh criticism, and it is. I don't know if they know. I think Bill O'Brien, unlike a lot of Patriots offensive coordinators, and even Belichick himself, I think Bill O'Brien, tell me if you think I'm right or wrong about this, he is very old school in that I think he wants to be a smash mouth offense. I think he wants to be able to run the ball whenever he wants to. I just don't think he knows how to successfully coach that. Jim Harbaugh did that with the San Francisco 49ers, where they had all those big guys up front, they're running wham plays with Frank Gore, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And Bill's never had an offense, a running game that's quite like that.
Yeah, I do agree with you when you say he wants to be able to run the football whenever he wants to run the football. I do agree with that. Yes, he does. But to me, he's not a smash mouth type guy. He loves to mix it up. He loves to throw the pill around. He loves to show different looks and different schemes. So I don't agree with you on that part. But he would definitely want to run the ball. I mean, anytime he feels like he wants to run it, he wants to be able to run the football. And I think you need to be able to run football to win games. If it's a 4-minute drill, guess what? You gotta be able to run the football to run the clock out to win the game.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So the question is, can he get an offensive line to run block for the running back that you have back there? Because to be honest, not a lot of holes that's opening up.
Yes.
Not a lot of opportunity for Lamar Miller and this year Deontay Foreman, those guys. So we'll see what happens with that. But it's just interesting to me. I keep going back. You let Brandon Brooks go, who's turned out to be a Pro Bowler.
Yes.
Dwayne Brown. Perennial Pro Bowler.
Well, like,
that's frustrating to me.
I'll defend him on Dwayne because I think that was an ownership front office decision.
So that's above his head?
Yeah. Okay. There is no chance that, like, I'll criticize O'Brien for whatever, but there's no way he wanted Dwayne Brown out of here. Okay. I mean, there's just no, I don't think there's any chance of that. Brandon Brooks, total disaster. Like, utter organizational disaster. when you let somebody like that go and he becomes better and becomes a Pro Bowler somewhere else, one of the best guards in the NFL, and your offensive line stinks, it's a total disaster. It's a bad look, and it's one of those kind of decisions that should make you like investigate what went wrong on that decision-making process.
What about Ben Jones? How do you feel about them letting – I mean, he just was a free agent.
Yeah. Yeah, not a big deal to me.
Not a big deal. Okay.
I would like to see a good offensive line, so I'm not going to give them like the benefit of the doubt, but I think that one made sense in theory. Like, you let Ben Jones go. I don't think Ben was great here. I don't know. I don't even know if he's been that great in Tennessee, honestly. I think he's a solid player, but it's not something that I'm going to like lose sleep over. But going back to Titus Howard, I'm optimistic about Howard and what his long-term future is going to be here, but if he's starting, like McClain's saying, if Titus Howard is starting week one against the Saints on Monday night, my instant fear sitting on my couch watching is going to be fear. I'm just going to be watching left tackle the whole time, and it's going to be fear because I'm worried the coaching staff is too optimistic about a young player. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but it's coming to the point where you just got to trust him.
I got to trust him.
You're going to have to just see what happens and just trust him, because if Titus is who we think he is, who everybody's saying is he is as far as work ethic and the whole nine, he'll be all right. He'll be all right. But I think everybody's going to be watching, okay, how many times Deshaun gets hit from the left side?
Absolutely. Yes.
That's it, you know, if he's a starter, so we'll see.
And oh, by the way, the guy who's going to be the right tackle, we keep forgetting this or not discussing this probably enough. I think Shontrell Henderson, if he's healthy, is going to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Shontrell Henderson has almost never stayed healthy and has never really been good in the NFL yet. So that's another thing to kind of watch out for. It's not as though you can go into the season being like, oh yeah, Shontrell Henderson, right tackle, like we're good there. He has a lot to prove too, by the way.
He has a lot to prove. So I think in an ideal world, you have Howard on one side and maybe Sharping on the other.
Is that an ideal world?
I think that's what you draft the guy in the second round for, to eventually be your starters at both tackles or somewhere on the line. Somewhere on the line. Maybe not this year as time goes on, but somewhere on the line, you want Sharping and Howard in on the same page.